All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseballs, the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseball's the lunchbox!
I have to possess this comic!
Baseball's the breakfast cereal!
I have Amigo Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis?
Baseball's the coloring book!
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
Good evening, and welcome to Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode number 45, Accents.
Oh, I was going to call it ridiculous, but...
What?
Accent works.
How are you, Matt?
I'm peachy, thank you.
I think we got to start right off by saying, tonight, joining us on Big Kev's Geek Stuff, for actually the next two episodes,
ooh,
Adrian Faulkner... founder of action-figure.com.
Remember that dash.
Yes, don't forget the dash.
That's right.
Matt. Adrian Faulkner is joining us tonight, giving us his wacky European perspective on...
wacky a bit like your accent.
Yes, thank you for continuing. And we should say also, reason it's called Accents, because Adrian has a funny one. And secondarily, because whenever I'm around Adrian... I have a subconscious accent that I pick up, and it's awful, and we've all pointed it out how funny it is. I can't help it. I don't know why. It has something to do with playing the Artful Dodger in Oliver when I was a small child, and I don't know why. Whenever I get around Adrian or our friend Matt from Automatic Comics with two T's in Britain, in Europe,
in
England, in wherever.
Someplace, across the
whenever
pond.
Whenever I get around these friends from Europe, I have this problem, and it's well documented, and we all know how bad it is, but we're just going to have to get through it.
I thought you were just doing an impression of Dick Van Dyke from Mary Poppins.
I'm not. Am I really that bad?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I'm going to start calling you the chimney sweep.
I remember, but we were in San Diego last year.
Me, Mary Poppins.
You actually paid me a compliment in San Diego last year. You
yeah,
said,
I probably
yeah, it's
lied.
Not the worst one I've ever heard. And the good part about it is that it sounds very natural, like you're not forcing it.
It sounds like Spinal Tap.
Good. And I'll get all the worst British accents ever. And I'm like, yeah, you know all of those? Combine those, and that's you. You're the best of the bad British accents. Thank you, Adrian.
There you go.
You're welcome.
What on earth are we going to talk about tonight, Matthew?
Well, we got a couple of little things. I think you actually wanted to start off with something tonight.
And actually, before we get into news, I want to say, I want to actually point out the fact that one of Adrian's great thrills of being in the country, in the United States this week, besides Toy Fair, was he got to meet somebody that he really admires. And I was there at the meeting, and I want to say it. You could see the glimmer of happiness in his eyes when he met our own Mr. Fantastic.
I was very excited to meet him.
He is a card-carrying member of the Mr. Fantastic fan club.
Yes, and now he could actually vouch that Mr. Fantastic does exist. Because there are still people out there that don't believe it.
Isn't he going to be at New York Comic Con?
He is for his first con appearance ever.
His debut.
But, I mean, you know, with the facial disfigurement, I mean, is that really wise?
Well, we haven't quite figured that part out yet.
He'll be Mr. Mask-tastic that day.
Exactly.
Let's talk about another one of our little fans who we haven't addressed, and we should have, but we've been so busy lately.
We have been.
And so much stuff to cover that we didn't have time. And tonight's going to be no different, by the way. We have a million things to do. But we are going to take time to address the fan we call Weatherman.
Aw.
He is our fan in Antarctica.
He is.
And anyone who does not believe this story, who's like, you're full of shit, Kev, well, now we have proof. We were waiting for the proof. We've gotten the proof. A young man who we're calling Weatherman, who is studying weather, coincidentally, in Antarctica. He's stationed down there. And he's not able, for whatever reason, connectivity or whatever, he's not able to download the show down there. But he's a big fan of the show. So he actually has his sister download the show, gets a couple at a time, burns them on a disc, and then mails it to him in Antarctica.
Yep.
So when we first got a letter saying, hey, I'm studying weather in Antarctica, blah, 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 we were like, yeah, sure you are. Like, we're going to fall for this. Like, we're that stupid. So it was great. And then, you know, we kind of waited a while, and I think he wrote us a second time.
He did.
And he sent us pictures of Antarctica.
Yep.
Like he, and it was like, wow, this guy really did his research. He actually got some pictures of Antarctica to back it up. And then, wasn't it on the third time?
No, I think it was all part of that second email, yeah.
On the second email, he said, I have attached a photo of myself that I want you to see. And I was like, okay. And
those
so
are always
download
emails you have to worry about.
Yeah.
Normally, yeah.
I was thinking, here comes the crux of this joke. Here it's coming now. Here's the punchline. And, you know, it would be something like a picture of his cock or something. But it wasn't. It actually was him. It was a picture of a guy, and I didn't get it right off the bat because I didn't read the entire email. He just said he attached a picture of him, so I'm like, oh, that's the attachment. So I downloaded the picture. I'm looking at the picture. So it's a very affable, happy-looking guy standing at a crashed plane with a lot of snow around it. I'll go as far as to say, look like Antarctica to me.
Sure.
So I was like, okay. But here's what sold it. Under his arm, he had the Twilight Turtle.
Unfucking believable.
So if you go back to episode Fantastic, can you look at the archives and see what episode we talked about the Twilight Turtle in? If you want to go back and check out the episode that Mr. Fantastic will let us know about in a moment, you can check out what we talked about. Twilight Turtle is a kind of a combination plush, light fixture looking turtle, bunch of holes in the hard shell. You put it on and it projects stars on the ceiling in your small child's room. Now, we kind of did this as kind of part goof, part, you know, we really should talk about other toys
you
other than we talked about.
Infatuated with that turtle.
I still am. And that's not the point. The point is that everyone was kind of like, what on earth are you doing? Right? Here's a guy who got that episode and listened to it. He's in Antarctica. He has no nighttime.
Right.
Because the sun's always up there, you know, for 7 or 8 months, 6 months or whatever it is. So he has, and he missed the stars. So he got the Twilight Turtle and has the stars when he goes to sleep.
There you go. Product evangelism in works.
Can you believe that?
It was touching a little.
And actually, if you're looking on your iPod right now or listening on QuickTime, you're actually seeing a picture of Weatherman holding his Twilight Turtle.
Aww.
There he is.
He's a swell chap.
He is. So our kudos to you, sir. Stay warm.
Yeah.
I bet it's not as cold there as it is in Jersey today.
Let's move on with what we got tonight in the news, since we do have so much to talk about tonight.
Yes, we do.
Last week, we talked a little bit about our friend, not really, Daniel Radcliffe and his nakedness all over the stage in Equus.
Mm-hmm.
And then shortly thereafter, we get a release date for the 7th Harry Potter book, July 21st.
July 21st. So the new Harry Potter book. And this is the last Harry Potter book, am I right?
Yep, number 7.
Number 7. And what's this one called?
Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, I believe.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. Ominous. And isn't there something else significant about that date, Adrian?
I believe it's also the 10th anniversary of the first book coming out. And also Harry Potter's birthday as well.
Is the character's birthday in the books?
I think so, yeah.
Wow.
So I know his birthday's supposed to be July sometime. Oh.
So theoretically he could die on his birthday, but in the book, but not. But it's, wait, his
Well, they
character...
said that two characters are going to die, but one, there was going to be a third character, but one, but they've had a reprieve.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, so. She spared someone's life.
She better not kill Hermione. I think Hermione and Ron have to live.
They're going to get together.
Yeah, I know. Pal, in my mind, they've already gotten together. And I'm Ron. That's all I'm saying about that topic. Because it could go places that we shouldn't go.
Exactly.
She's 18 now, right?
No, 17.
No, not yet.
God damn it.
But it's okay because in the UK, legal age is 16.
I'm going to Europe. Get me Emma Watson's address and I will bring the flowers.
Ew.
Girls like flowers.
They do.
I read that. Did you?
I'm proud of you.
You could do your accent.
That would impress her, probably.
It would probably do something.
Fantastic. Do you have information?
Kevin, you talked about Twilight Turtle in episode 14.
Episode 14. Thank you. Fantastic. So the Harry Potter book and my fantasies about Emma Watson are all coming up.
Sure.
Actually, one of them's already happened.
Ew.
Just saying. Are you, Adrian, are you planning on checking out the production of Equus? Featuring the naked Daniel Radcliffe.
That really doesn't sort of do anything for me.
No?
No.
Don't want to see the wand? I'm just saying.
Well, I think he's got to do something that kind of removes him from Harry. And
well, that's and it's funny you say that because last week I said the same thing. I said, you know, really, Daniel Radcliffe getting naked in a stage production is really something that is so absolutely other than Harry Potter that it's really going to work for him. And like I ended the show with last week, I want to say also, I think Emma Watson needs to consider this move as well.
It's known as the Mark Hamill disease.
Yes. And perhaps if she did, if she did the UK version of Playboy.
Well, the worry is that she'll do the UK version of Slipstream.
Ugh.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my God, you just sent chills up my spine. You know what's worse? I have that on DVD.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
I know. That's in the Big Kev's Geek Stuff DVD archive.
It's an entirely different archive.
Entirely different building.
That one has scanners and lasers.
I know.
That's crazy.
It's got to have it at this point.
Can we move on now?
Sure, let's.
Indie Spotlight Shockinius. The lineup has been announced. We were waiting for that after having talked to Jeff a couple episodes back.
Ooh, careful.
And
Foosh is listening.
They are, actually, because somehow we're still getting a lot of traffic from that site. So
I love those guys over at Foosh. They know their stuff, and I got no beef with them.
Sure.
I stand toe-to-toe with those guys when we disagree. I'm fine with that.
I have
an opinion. They have an opinion. That's fine.
Okay. It's a series of two packs, which will include Shadowhawk, Scud, Kachu.
Slow down. There's a Scud Shockini?
Yeah, I think we knew that. I think he kind of hinted at the fact that everything that was in the regular line was going to be in the Shockini line and then some.
Who's in the pack with Scud?
I don't know. But
monster fan of Scud.
But it might be Shadowhawk and Scud and then Kachu and the Max, Kabuki and Solar, and then Dick Tracy and Madman.
Did you call it Kabuki?
I did call it Kabuki. It happens once in a while. Okay, David Mack doesn't listen. He won't care.
You don't know that David Mack doesn't listen.
I'm assuming. I could be wrong.
I have a thing or two here.
Do you?
Thing one. Ray Harryhausen, who is a special effects genius. You may know him from his work, at least from such films as Sinbad. Those old, 50s and 60s.
Clash of the Titans.
Yes. And he has now hooked up with Blue Water Productions.
Okay.
And they're going to do some comic books together.
Oh.
It's going to be in the Ray Harryhausen Presents comic book line, which is going to feature titles such as Wrath of the Titans,
ooh,
which is going to be some sort of, I guess, sequel.
But it's based on legend. You can't do sequel to a legend.
Well,
we're going to take classic mythology and write sequels to it.
This time
the Kraken strikes back.
I don't know. It looks to me like it's kind of a sequel, a comic book sequel to Clash of the Titans. With Ray Harryhausen helping out and Blue Water Productions. They also have Sinbad, Rogue of Mars, which I'm not exactly sure about the whole Mars connection.
Was that the eighth sea?
Maybe. Jason and the Argonauts, Kingdom of Hades, Back to Mysterious Island, 20 Million Miles More. These are all kind of sequels to films that Harryhausen worked on, at least in the comic book form.
So they're scooping some stuff out of the litter box, and they're trying to bring it back to life comic book form.
No, because A, how dare you say that Ray Harryhausen's work belongs in a litter box?
I'm not saying that his work belongs
in a
litter box.
That is what you just implied. You said they're scooping out of the litter box and doing sequels to it. Isn't that just what you implied, sir?
That's not what I meant then.
But you've got to admit that, you know, kind of this whole sequel thing is a little bit odd.
Well,
Sinbad on Mars. I mean,
yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm gonna address that right now. It must have been a really big check,
yeah,
to Ray Harryhausen to
really
get his name
spliff, more like.
On the
yeah, that too.
Well, I met him. I met Ray Harryhausen at San Diego last year, and he is an older gentleman now,
obviously.
And this kind of, to me, seems like it's going to take something away from those original films, but I don't want to prejudge it too much. I want to at least give Wrath of the Titans a chance.
Okay.
I don't know. It comes out in May, and Ray is also going to help them revise and rediscover their book, The Tenth Muse.
Wow, I remember that book.
Which I never really dug at all.
You know, it was
isn't
all
that
right.
The one where
I
they
read
designed
a couple of issues of it.
They designed the character after Sable from the WWE, didn't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, I believe
they?
So. I think actually they had a couple of like photo covers
with her,
and Sable was on a couple of them.
So anyway, Harryhausen in bed with Blue Water Productions. I'm sure it was a big check. I'm sure it's going to be very exciting for Darren Davis, who's the publisher there over at Blue Water. And we'll see what comes of it. I'll give Wrath of the Titans a try. I was a huge Clash of the Titans fan. I had all those toys.
Yeah.
And now I really only have like three.
That's one of the few toy lines I never ever got.
Really?
Mm.
They're really nice. I mean, considering...
LJN, weren't they? Or were they Mego?
I think they're LJN.
Yeah.
They were...
Oh, no, tell a lie. I managed to pick up one of them.
Which one? Charon, the boatman.
Yes.
Everybody picks that one up. Why is that one the
most popular?
I don't
think they ever came out in the UK.
It's possible that they
I mean,
didn't.
You know, a lot of the older... Because I'm really big into the 3¾-inch lines.
Right.
And, you know, over the years, I've tried to sort of get some of the older toys that I missed. And I think, were the old Lord of the Rings Knickerbocker toys? They were three.
Wow. Oh, yeah, yeah.
But I haven't managed to get any of those yet.
They
because
are.
They are.
Wow.
And that, and they were through the roof before even, yeah, you know, the films came out. So
are you a loose figure guy in that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I just want to make sure.
I don't have the room for package.
I wanted
figures.
To make sure you weren't a poser like other people in the room.
Kotobukiya has picked up a Halo license, 12-inch final statues based on Halo.
Okay, that's good.
Is it Halo 3, Adrian, do you know, or is it just Halo in general?
I think it's the whole Halo franchise.
It is, okay.
But, I mean, Master Chief, I'm sure, like, fans of Halo, I mean, I know I've got friends back in the UK who are big, big Halo fans, and they will, you know, they would turn around and be able to tell the difference between Master Chief in Halo 1 and Halo 2.
Right.
But, you know, to most of us, we're just going, Master Chief. So.
Fantastic. Will you be able to tell the difference between the Master Chiefs if they do these vinyl products? And will you be critical of their choice between which set of armor they use?
Yeah, it's real easy to tell the difference between Halo 1 and the Halo 2 armor. In the game, it's actually, I think it's the Mark 5 armor and then the Mark 6 armor in Halo 2, but... Halo 3 is kind of a natural extension of the story of 2, so it's going to be the same chief kind of like minutes later. So it's supposed to be the same armor, so it'll be a little bit harder to tell the difference. But they're going to do some things like change the battle damage and things like that on it. He'll also have a little bit different weapon set, so you'll be able to tell that way.
Yeah, because he's got that new big shield thing, hasn't he?
Yeah, in the commercial, in the CGI commercial, they show him using that, what'd you call it, geodesic or hexadesic kind of stasis grenade. That's kind of like a personal shield, and, you know, that's rumored to be in the game. So if he comes with anything that looks like that, yeah, that's Halo 3.
I say they go right for Halo 3.
Sure.
I mean, if they're going to try to tie it in, it's going to be that. They got to go right for Halo 3.
Sure.
Well, you know, their other products are great. The Batman, which is right behind us in the Big Kev's Geek Stuff product archive, we have the vinyl Batman.
Sure.
And also a large selection of the Star Wars pieces in the archive as well.
Yep.
So I guess this will be no different. I'm sure the quality will be just as good.
I think it's going to be a big year for Halo this year. Because I know, I mean, there's two companies doing Halo stuff and possibly a third.
Really? So. Who's doing Halo stuff?
Well, you've got the WizKids
right.
doing the Action Clicks.
The Action Clicks.
Action Clicks. Why would they not call them Halo Clicks?
Probably because WizKids does the Hero Clicks, and then they did Horror Clicks. And my guess is that Halo is probably the first set in Action Clicks, but you'll see other licenses and titles come out in the Action Clicks branch later.
Action Clicks may be based on video games, and you'll be able to mix it up between Master Chief and, say, God of War.
Right. I mean, that seems the way WizKids kind of builds these little umbrellas and then funnels out underneath. So
WizKids is acting really weird lately, especially with us.
Well, I
hope they have answers. That's all I'm saying.
Well, we'll talk to them, I'm sure.
I'm going to Toy Fair this weekend looking for answers.
Okay, well.
From WizKids.
Are they even at Toy Fair, do we know?
They gotta be.
Okay. And that little coffee table that they have set up sometimes?
No, they had a huge display in Javits.
They had a display in Javits, that's right. But they used to have a tiny little part of a different room, remember?
Mm-hmm.
It was part of the Stevens Group and WizKids and somebody else.
There was a room, I think there was a company, and all it did was just hire out this room and then hire out parts of it to various different companies.
Yeah.
But, I mean, and now since then, were bought up by Tops.
Okay.
So I think that's why they've got slightly larger. But they did get rid of a lot of people.
Yeah, a lot of people.
Yeah.
Well, we've gone through four different contacts in the last...
And that may just be you.
No, guys who have left the company.
Yeah, that may just be you.
I drove them out, is that what you're saying?
Sometimes have that effect on people.
Hey, now. Look, if I was able to drive anybody out of the business... We all know who it would have been, and he's still here.
Anyway.
That's right. You sigh. We're going to have to deal with him.
Anyway, there was some news that came out this week in regards to the upcoming Incredible Hulk film. The new Hulk movie that Marvel is trying to put out to erase the poor, awful movie that came out originally. Director Lewis... I'm not even going to try to pronounce his last name. Maybe I will try. Lettier, something along those lines. He was a director that did the Transporter films. Has said that Abomination is going to be the lead villain in the film.
Oh.
Thunderbolt Ross will be in there as well as the main villain. And it has not been cast yet as far as who's going to play Bruce Banner. And Hulk will be part CGI... part prosthetics.
Oh.
Whatever that means. I hope it's not batter dipped Hulk.
It's another train wreck.
Yeah.
So he's going to be about sort of 5'5" high.
Yeah. It's going to be the Thing.
Lou Ferrigno.
Only green.
Yeah. Here we go again, folks. It's just another sailing into dangerous waters. You already can tell. They haven't done any of the casting yet, which means nobody's coming back from the first. Who was that? That was Sam in the first film.
As what?
Thunderbolt.
Oh, I don't remember who it was in the first
film. Yeah, I know who it. I'm trying to think. He was in, like, Tombstone, I think.
Yeah, it's Sam Elliott.
Sam Elliott.
Yeah, Sam Elliott was Thunderbolt Ross in the first film. And does that mean he's not coming back? Does that mean...
If he's got any sense...
Yeah,
I guess.
Well, Eric Bana is not coming back. What's his name? That played Absorbing Man.
Well, he's dead.
I know, but
Nick Nolte.
Yeah, Nick Nolte. You know,
is he dead?
Nick Nolte's not dead.
You just said he was.
No, the character I meant.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
But come on, it's comic books. He could come back.
Nolte's not dead.
I'm thinking, my God, what did I miss? One on the fly.
His career is, but he's not dead. And what's her name? Was Jennifer Connelly was Betty Ross.
Yeah, that movie was just a train wreck.
And it looks like another one in the works.
Well, you know, I think it's still kind of early. And while I am very skeptical at this point, I guess I'm going to have to wait. I'm going to have to actually see what it looks like. I want to see what the Hulk actually looks like. So we'll have to wait for some concept images or maybe even a trailer to come out. You know, it'll be some time.
Speaking of concept images.
Uh-oh.
I think this weekend when we visit Diamond Select Toys, we are going to see David Peterson's Mouse Guard action figures.
Ooh.
Yes, I'm very excited. Have you read Mouse Guard, AJ?
I haven't. I did see it in the comic shop today.
Really? I have them stacked over here somewhere if you want to read through them. They're a really quick read.
Are they kind of like, I mean, tell me a little, I don't know much about the sort of property. Are they more sort of children's books or?
No, I don't know. I would say definitely not, in
no,
fact.
Are they a lot? Because they reminded me kind of like books I had as a child, you know?
Secret
they,
you of know,
like, kind of art.
They're kind of like the story is kind of like Redwall maybe, but like kicked up a couple of notches. Okay. Like it's kind of like that. It's. Yeah, it's good. It's definitely worth checking out.
I mean, the art looks fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, he's great. Yeah, he really is good. And they're going to continue. They're going to do more, obviously, because they're doing action figures. Somebody likes this stuff other than us. And
yeah.
I'm happy. I'm just happy for myself. It seems to be that the first line could include such popular characters as Kenzie, Liam, Saxon, and Sadie.
Ooh.
And they are also developing characters for perhaps the second wave, which may include Selenaw, who is the ancient mouse of the old guard,
right.
And Conrad the Brave but crusty peg-legged mouse,
right?
As well as Midnight impersonating the Black Axe.
Okay.
So there's a couple of other characters in development as well.
Excellent.
We got to get him on this show.
Yeah,
because
well,
he's going to blow up, and we're never going to ever get near him ever.
Never say never.
You know what's going to happen.
Never
you know
say
what,
never.
You know what's going to happen.
Never say never.
He's going to sign an animation deal. He's going to get huge. Never going to want to do this show.
Okay. Well, you say that now, but let's see.
I mean, maybe if you're on XM, he might.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe.
You jumped ahead.
I'm sorry.
He's allowed.
Don't ruin
he's a guest.
My joke.
He's a guest.
All right. What else do you got?
Jeff Bridges is joining the cast of Iron Man. In what capacity? Nobody knows. But we can all speculate and guess.
Which means he's the baddie.
Yeah, exactly. And how they're going to make him the Mandarin exactly, I'm not sure.
No, they haven't said it's going to be the Mandarin.
They have not said it's going to be the Mandarin, no.
So who else could it possibly be?
Well, I don't know.
Who's
the
Iron
Mandarin
Man?
Seems to make the most sense as far as the villains go, I think, at least.
Not according to the Invincible Iron Man film that we reviewed last week.
No, apparently the villain there was
Marvel.
Bad everything, right?
Marvel was the villain there.
Man, I talked to some guy this week that thought that thing was great.
What retard did they let out of the home to talk to you about that piece of shit cartoon?
I don't know, but I told him if he wanted to hear my opinion on it, he should listen to episode 45 of Geek Stuff. So, or 44, actually. And that's okay with me. So, yeah, Jeff Bridges, but they don't know. They haven't announced what role it is. Everybody is speculating that he's going to be the villain. And there is some guess and speculation that it's going to be the Mandarin, although none of that's confirmed. So,
what the fuck?
Okay, I'm just saying, don't get angry at me.
It's got to be somebody else. Why don't we throw this one out to the listeners? Who do you think Jeff Bridges, if he is the villain, who do you think he could possibly play as a villain in the new Iron Man movie? You can go over to BigKevsGeekStuff.com to the forum section, and you can post it there, or you can drop us a line over at the home site as well, and let us know what you think.
So there's been some talk about the Ghostbuster 3 film that never was, but may soon be.
Ooh.
We saw all of this stuff online a couple weeks back about that animated video game, which we all drooled over here because it really did look fucking cool, and we hope that it gets made. But it wasn't the movie. What we do know about the movie now is that it looks like they're going to go forward with it, but it's going to be all CGI. Bill Murray, who has been the stick in the mud as far as going forward with it for the longest time, has said that he will not do a live-action film, but he will do a CGI film. He will lend his voice to a CGI film.
Well, he's an actor now.
Sure.
So
Didn't he get run off in a sulk after the Oscars or something?
Did he?
I don't know whether it's true. Allegedly, I think
did
is
you
the
read
legal
that
word
that...
to say.
What's that pink newspaper that you have?
Pink newspaper?
Yeah.
It's not pink. We have a full, what, in the UK?
Yeah.
No, we have the Financial Times.
That's it. It's pink.
It's kind of...
It's
more
pink.
Fleshy.
It's pink.
I think there's probably other newspapers out there that are pink that, you know, cater for certain segments of the community.
Yes, I understand. Matt's segment.
Yeah,
got
probably.
It.
Well, no, no, they don't do newspapers for hobbits.
Oh, that Matt. Okay, good. Good, that kind of takes the pressure right off. Now you don't have to respond.
So yeah, it looks like we may get a Ghostbusters 3 after all. Dan Aykroyd is moving forward with it.
Well, I hope they're able to get longtime holdout Ernie Hudson aboard on this project.
He's
a busy
out.
Man.
Is he?
Yeah.
Not really.
I know that he has done, in the last year, he's been on a couple of different popular programs like ER, where he played Dr. Michael Gallant's father.
Look, I'm not saying he doesn't work.
And he's also been on Desperate Housewives. Couple of those, and he's done some Cold Case.
I'm not
and
saying
Ernie
he
Hudson
work.
Gets around.
All right, I'm glad.
I'm just saying, I hope they're able to get him for this project.
I hope so too.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
All right.
It looks like Joel Schumacher has his eyes potentially, maybe, sorta on Sandman.
Ugh.
Yeah. That was my first reaction. And apparently Neil...
Is he looking at Sandman's ass?
Or his nipples, one or the other. Because, you know, he did so well with the bat nipples. Bat nipples and bat buns, actually, all those years ago. So what was it that you were telling
Sandman's
me about
Sandman's got nipples?
Well, I read somewhere, I think it was on Gaiman's blog,
okay,
that he said that there was obviously the rumor's been doing the rounds for the last week, 2 weeks.
Right.
And he said that constantly... There are people in Hollywood approaching, you know, DC or whoever owns the rights to Sandman to do a Sandman movie. So the fact that this one's got out there, fans shouldn't worry too much about because, you know, there's at any one time there's kind of three directors wanting to do Sandman.
Right.
Please tell me he phrased it in that way, that fans don't have to worry that Joel Schumacher might get anywhere near this property.
I don't know. I think it's top item on his blog.
We'll have to check it out. Well, you know, I would think that Neil is probably very protective of his subject material. And he's got what, three projects in the near future coming out?
Well, he's got Stardust.
Stardust.
Then there's
Coraline.
Coraline.
And the Beowulf.
Right.
Which he wrote the script, didn't he, with Roger, was it Roger Avery?
I don't know. I don't know about that. Oh, yeah. I think you're right. I think it is Roger Avery, yeah.
And I want to say that there was something else. Oh, isn't somebody working on Good Omens also? Isn't
no.
that
Good
like,
Omens
in the pipeline?
Is constantly kind of in the mill, so to speak. Yeah,
did you ever hear about the dream casting of that? And he had them, and then they couldn't move forward. They had Robin Williams as the angel, and I can't remember who the devil was, or the demon was, but... It was, and I remember hearing this once. I don't remember exactly where I heard it or when I heard it, but that he had this amazing cast, and he had them all verbally committed to doing it.
Well, there's this thing in the UK where the other author who worked with Neil Gaiman, Terry Pratchett, is known as being cursed when it comes to Hollywood movies. Because what tends to happen, I know, do you get a lot of Discworld novels over here?
We do, but I've never actually... read them.
Okay, there is one book and it's called Mort.
Okay.
And it's all about Death's Apprentice. And apparently, the story goes that this book went to Hollywood and they were going to do it. And the Hollywood came back to Pratchett and said, you know, we love the story. We want to do it. We want to make it a huge blockbuster. But we kind of want to lose the death angle. Which was kind of like the key thing of the story. So there's, you know, Terry Pratchett is said on record many a time that, you know, whenever anything happens, it's never going to happen.
Oh, that's a shame. Good Omens is a great book, too.
Yeah.
What have I read something, not Ringworld, though. Oh, Ringworld, I think, is what I've read. Not
that's
Discworld.
Larry Niven.
Yeah. I've read some of those.
Yeah, no, Pratchett is really good. It's British humor. You'd like it. What, with your accent and everything?
You know,
Wicked Burn.
I've tried very hard, Adrian, not to allow myself to slip into the accent, and I don't appreciate your criticism of me.
How do you?
I think, being my friend, that you would be more supportive.
A bit more supportive of you.
Just a bit. Just saying.
Let's move on to Indiana Jones
4.
Memorial Day weekend, 2008. It's got an official date and everything.
Hooray!
Hooray! Okay, so we have that, but we also have the rumor that they want to make the whip, they being the production company and the film company, wants to make the whip CGI because it's too dangerous. And Harrison Ford is apparently absolutely livid about this fact. He does not want it to be CGI. He wants to wield the whip himself again. And I say, well, why not? He's done it before, right?
He's why not? A lot older, though.
So? What are you trying to say?
I mean, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade? You can cut yourself really badly with that. You know, you have to be really careful.
Look, I think that if Harrison Ford wants to use a real whip, then Harrison Ford should get to use a real whip.
Yeah. CGI whip. Give me a break.
The only thing that makes me worry is that they're going to do something that kind of... They'll do something within the story where he'll do something so fantastical with the whip that the only way they can do it is with CGI. And that makes me worry.
Right. That's what I'm thinking.
That's kind of what happened in Star Wars for me. You notice ever since they gave the guys, the Jedi, the ability to do like super flips and super high jumps. And I was watching episode 2 the other day. Mm-hmm. And there's a scene where Obi-Wan falls off the platform while fighting Jango Fett, and he kind of swings on this rope and he does like a flip. It made them do ridiculous things because they could.
I'm fine with that. The issue that I have was, who knew R2-D2 could fly? And if he could fly, why didn't he get out of that swamp on his own?
You know, but I heard that he could fly, like in earlier scripts and in earlier concept art and things like that. But then when they did have the ability to do it, they shouldn't have.
Do you know, I think that R2-D2 is actually the real master of the dark side. Because he knows. He knows everything that's happened. He's there with Luke, twittering away. Does he let on that Darth Vader's his father? Not at all.
There's, you know, always there's... two.
Mm. C-3PO.
R2-D2.
Oh, I think we're on to something.
Just saying.
Internet bloggers, start your fingers.
Yeah. Yeah. Start pointing that middle one up at this show.
Yeah, exactly. Ew. So let's hope they don't go with the CGI whip. Let's hope they give Harrison the real whip. And let's hope they keep a certain amount of realism to the whip and don't make it overly ridiculous. Because I think that's what's going to happen.
And let's hope Harrison doesn't break a hip trying to use that whip.
Oh, come on.
Did you hear the other part of that story is that Sean Connery is holding out?
Is he?
Yeah, he wants $15 million.
What is Sean Connery holding out for?
For what might be, at least the rumor goes, something along the lines of 20 minutes worth of film.
See, he and Harrison Ford don't get on at all, do they?
No, I've never heard that. But he's he's only like 4 years older than Harrison Ford, or 6 years.
Really didn't get on with each other at all.
You know what? I gotta say, it's a shame, but they shouldn't let that stop the film.
Well, look, we all know one thing is for certain. This is going to be the last Indiana Jones movie.
No doubt.
Which means every character that's ever been in any of them, if they're still alive, they should be in this movie.
Sure.
Even if it's only and you know what it's got to – I'm hoping to God that it's not something Indy has a son or Indy actually
– you know that's going to happen.
Well, it's a daughter, because if it's any kind of continuity, the Young Indiana Jones Chronicles, he has a daughter. When he's the old man, he's staying with his daughter.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a daughter. And if that's the case...
Lara Croft.
Wow.
Not a lot of fans here of that, Mr. Faulkner. Just saying. So, I have a lot of fear about this movie. And I'm sure within the next few weeks, once more of this stuff starts slipping out, we're probably going to have to do an Indiana Jones little intro piece with Indiana Jones news.
We might.
What else you got, mouth?
I've saved this for last.
Oh, goody.
Joss Whedon,
dead.
No longer doing Wonder Woman. That's it.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, he'll have plenty more time to devote to getting Firefly back on the air.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care. I'm still free. You can't take the sky from me.
I don't think that's going to happen, even though I want it. But he said there's another film that apparently he's been throwing around Universal called Goners. I don't really know much about it.
Is it the story of Wash and Book in the afterlife?
Wow, that'd be funny. But no, it is not.
Please say it's not another alien film.
I have no idea what the hell it is. But he says, his exact quote is, "There is that Goners movie I can finally finish polishing, and plenty of other things in the hopper I've wanted to pursue."
Serenity 2?
Well, he has a Buffy comic coming out in March. Later this year, which is supposed to be season 8 of the television series in the comic book form. Later this year, we know that he has another Firefly Serenity-related comic book miniseries coming out that I think is supposed to take place, I think, immediately following Serenity.
Okay.
I think.
Okay.
But don't quote me on that because I could be grossly wrong.
So there you have it, folks. Matt is saying that the miniseries coming out will take place exactly after Serenity. In fact, right before the credits roll, this thing picks up.
Exactly. It's exactly where it is.
Minutes later.
So I wonder what the other things he has are in his hopper. But maybe if he does another film with Universal, this Goners production, maybe it's...
Do you think that's just good. Him putting a brave face on things?
Saying what?
Well, just, you know, I've got all these other projects. You know.
To be honest with you...
Because he's off of Wonder Woman, you mean?
Yeah, I think... I don't know. Did he jump or was he pushed?
Well, he chalks it up to... creative differences, I think.
He was pushed.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know.
I think Wonder Woman should have black hair. You're fired.
Yeah. Mm. I had a take on the film that, well, nobody liked. That was his quote. It's
probably comic book accurate, then.
Yeah.
Yes, that's probably exactly what it was.
It's the Kevin Smith wants to do Superman, but they won't let him syndrome. It's so now he wants to do Wonder Woman, probably very accurate and true, and they won't let him, which is fine. Look, I think Joss is talented and capable of doing a lot of other things.
He just doesn't seem to have a lot of luck, though.
No, he doesn't, but he has a beautiful, rabid fan base.
Yeah, and he has a beautiful franchise with one of the most rabid, as Matt said, fan followings ever. I mean, we've talked about the Serenity Firefly conventions and... Mm-hmm. And how they were canceled, but they picked up and moved it somewhere else. The fans were bussing people from one place to the other. And the people from the show all showed up, even people who weren't scheduled, who were in the area, came by late at night to play cards and have drinks. And, you know, when you have that kind of a following, why on earth would you just let it linger? Now, I'll never understand that at all. And speaking of Firefly and Serenity and gatherings and things like that.
No. Come on.
What?
We discussed this. Not yet.
I'm just...
Nah.
All right.
Matt laying the smack down.
It's okay.
It's all he has.
It'll be all right.
Matt, you have to check out our latest sponsor, In His Likeness.
In His Likeness is a non-denominational view of the gods and how they view us. With pot shots at pop culture, geekdom, and good versus evil, over 250 strips about dots can't be wrong.
Yeah, they're really funny, too. Kind of just a bunch of weird dots, but they have their own sort of little universe, and I think they're really funny.
You can check them out at inhislikeness.com.
Wait, that was mine.
I know, but you threw off the flow with your little...
Why aren't you doing some sort of riff thing? Told me to riff, I riffed.
Yeah, but we don't have anything else to say now other than when it's updated and when the website is.
You have an opinion?
It's not an opinion piece. It's a ad.
Fine. You can check out In His Likeness at inhislikeness.com, conveniently. And it's updated 3 times a week, Sunday, Wednesday, and Friday. InHisLikeness.com.
Yo, what's going on? It's Aaron Magruder, the creator of the Boondocks. You're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Holla at your man Kev. Later.
Jiminy, Jim, Jim, Cheree. A sweep is as lucky can be. Jim, Jiminy, Jim, Jiminy, Jim, Jim, Cheroo.
good luck, we're a buff when I shake hands with you. Or blow me a kiss. And that's lucky too.
And we're back with Geek
hey,
Stuff.
Hey. Why don't you try it in an accent?
I don't want to sound like an ass. You do that quite well for the both of us.
Are you saying a British accent makes you sound like an ass?
No, that's what I heard.
I can do
Adrian.
That without the accent. Thank you very much.
I heard that.
Kev's
accent
sounds like an
ass. You've
just insulted an entire country.
Now, I love them.
You better never travel to Europe.
I don't. I'm with Adrian
we'll
on this.
We'll full speed you. Speed you, bubble and squeak.
Toad in the hole.
Toad in the hole.
I don't know. I don't think you should be
I
insulting.
Said you.
You did not.
I said you.
All right. I think we should move past this.
We should move past this.
We are
off
back.
With his head.
That much is true. What? Is, what?
Off with his head.
Wow.
We are back. Reason. It's true.
We are.
This is episode 45, Accents.
It is.
That's true. And what are we going to do now? Well.
Some exciting DC stuff
yeah.
tonight. Yeah.
Next on the schedule, we have, we were supposed to have.
Supposed to.
Justice Series 5.
Okay.
From DC Direct, based on the Alex Ross and Jim Kruger book Justice.
Well, why don't we? I saw them in the archive the other day. Weren't they
well,
there?
Well, I went down to the Big Kev's Geek Stuff product archive.
Okay.
To retrieve the line so that we could talk about it this evening.
Uh-huh.
As you know, the archive overflowing
sure.
with fine products. And someone had broken into the archive.
Into the actual archive?
Yeah.
Now, how can anybody find anything in the archive? Because it's a bit like, you know, at the end of Indiana Jones,
well,
where they put in the Ark of the Covenant?
Actually, if you're looking on your iPod right now, or you're looking on your QuickTime download, you can actually see a picture of the archive, and Adrian is correct. It does look a lot like the Indiana Jones archive.
It's kind of scary.
And the answer to the question is, we have people. Yeah, Paco and the crew are down there, and they manage the archive.
Well, I make Paco walk like a couple feet in front of me with a lantern.
Well, yeah, I mean, if...
guide me through.
Yeah.
Have you got people in there, or have they just got lost in that labyrinth?
They're
trying to
personal...
find their way out.
Look,
they're
look,
like
Adrian,
our own Oompa Loompas, really.
Hey, can we... I think we need to, you know, there may be some... some green colored issues that we can't really talk about, you know. So if people go missing, you don't really have to say anything.
Oh, okay.
Just saying. So anyway, someone, I guess, after Paco and crew wrapped up mm-hmm. last night in the receiving area where I was told the JSU or the Justice Series 5 figures were gone.
Really?
Someone had broken into the archive.
Wow.
And stolen.
That's a shame.
Apparently, it looked like our prep sheet for this episode, episode 45, was there.
Okay.
And it had this Justice Series 5 listed on it. And so Justice Series 5, gone.
Huh.
Now, coincidentally.
Is there, like, any evidence there?
Well, that's actually where I'm going to. The right by the entrance to the archive.
Okay.
They found a few items the police are investigating. And they found CD copies of our show.
Wow.
Big Kev's Geek Stuff, a number of episodes that somebody had burned onto CDs. And apparently they were, from what the experts are telling me, they were well used. Like they had been used very often.
Really?
Yeah, okay. I guess they're able to tell that about discs.
They must be mad, though.
Yeah. And they also found copies of Spike Asylum.
Really?
Yeah.
Did they see the getaway vehicle?
They said it was the tracks, you know, the tire tracks. They indicated that it had to be some sort of truck.
Wow.
So I don't know what the connection is there.
Hmm.
And the police are investigating who broke into the archive. And that's all that we know right now. Some beer bottles were also found.
Like they were throwing a party.
Almost like they were throwing a party.
Hmm.
So I don't know. I don't know who would take DC Direct Justice 5. So I guess what's going to have to happen is we're going to save Justice Series 5, I guess, for one of our XM shows. It's better that they're on the XM shows and not the regular show that we do week after week.
Wow.
Just saying.
You saying we're going to have another XM show?
I didn't say any such thing. I'm hoping.
Right.
But we are going to move on, actually. We don't want to waste
too much
the
time.
Valuable Adrian Faulkner input.
Valuable?
Yes.
Very.
We value it. We value
Surely.
It. And we want to talk about what we're looking forward to at Toy Fair. Yeah, me too. I don't know. I'm overly jazzed about nothing.
Really?
Going in.
We always look forward to something.
I mean Tonner.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing Tonner because I know that Robert Tonner has been working on the Joker. I was told that by
Ooh.
One of our secret connections over there that he's been working on a Joker piece, and I'm hoping it's gonna be on display. And I hope I just didn't say something that I wasn't allowed to say. Oh well. I'll get a cease and desist from
Tom Tonner.
Courtney. From Tom Courtney over there.
Eek.
Sorry.
We won't tell him about this episode.
That's right. We'll just push it under the rug.
So we didn't hear that.
Exactly.
We didn't hear that. Exactly. Okay. What? Joker who? So
Heath Ledger?
I don't know. I mean there's some stuff that we're kind of starting to get peeks at in magazines and online that's kind of like okay, that could be really
well,
exciting.
I always look forward to going to the Jack showroom. They have some good stuff every year.
Classic Superstars line, one of the most consistent lines out there.
But do you know what I like about Jack's is that I love their Rocky line, and the reason I love their Rocky line was because it was always designed to be a mass market line.
Right.
Yet it's for a film that's what year did Rocky come out?
76.
Yeah.
76,
so,
I think.
So like, 30 years old. So here we have something that's mass market, and I mean it's mass market globally.
Right.
Whereas a lot of things that you see in sort of Toys R Us, you don't get in the UK.
Right.
And it's kind of a collector's line that's mass market, and I really think they've got some clever things that they're doing over there, and I always enjoy going to see what they're gonna do.
It's actually that line Adrian brought up, the Rocky line, is a miracle. In the second
Huge
market.
Huge, that line.
They are going for a goddamn fortune on eBay. Series
yep.
one. A fortune. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of like, well, obviously we're looking to do some line reviews on that stuff. And we're kind of waiting for Jax to come through on that for us. But in the interim, I've seen some of them. And they're really nice.
Yeah.
I mean, everything about them is really nice. They've done a good job with them. And they are just taking off.
Yep, you can't find them almost anywhere.
Yeah.
I think the thing with them is that, if you compare them to a lot of other lines, they're probably, they're very well sculpted,
mm-hmm.
but, they're never going to be the best sculpts that you've ever seen. I don't want to take anything away from them.
Sure.
They're not the most super articulated
right.
that you've ever seen, but there is kind of a consistency about
mm-hmm.
Jack's product
mm-hmm.
that you kind of, when you buy a Jack's product. I mean, don't get me wrong, some fans, there are some issues, and I'm not saying that Jack's get everything perfect, but there is a consistency throughout that company
sure,
exactly.
that you don't get with Mattel and with Hasbro.
Right.
I mean, both Mattel and Hasbro do some fantastic stuff, but they also do some stuff that's... Well,
crap.
Yeah.
yeah.
That,
call
know,
it what it is. Crap. Yeah. You're on this show now, Adrian. You can call it crap.
Well,
It's crap. Some of it's crap.
It is.
This isn't crap, and Adrian's exactly right, and I agree with him. There is a consistency throughout Jax that makes something like their WWE license so exciting and so consistent.
So we could say, then, that we are interested in seeing Jax.
Right.
What else?
Well, I think one of the places I want you to go and have a look is I want you to go over to Master Replicas.
Okay.
Okay.
One of the big lines, one of the lines I'm most excited about, but unfortunately is Europe only, is the 3¾ Harry Potter line. And I've gone out on and said publicly I think that's going to be the best line of next year. Unfortunately, you're not going to get it in the US because NECA have got...
Two people in this room in the U.S. are going
to
be getting
yes, I'm probably going to make a fortune, shipping them out.
I'm sure of that.
Yeah, I'm going to pack up and just open Harry Potter shop. I mean, I think the what NECA are going to do is going to be fantastic, but the 3¾ lines, and I mean, I was in the U.K. and I was playing with prototypes. They weren't just standing up there. They were proper size. They were proper test shots. They were fantastic. But what's not got a lot of publicity at the moment, and hasn't really been discussed all that much is that Cards Inc., Master Replicas, Corgi, that sort of weird menage
conglomeration.
Yeah,
they're all one company now. Right?
I like kind, the menage
more
a
or
trois.
Less. Yeah, menage a trois. Yeah, they've also picked up the license for the gold. I think it's called the Golden Compass over here.
Yes, okay.
It's a series of, based on a series of books, very much read by sort of Harry Potter fans.
Okay,
called His Dark Materials by an author called Philip Pullman. It's a kid's book, and the movie is coming out at the end of the year. There is a fair bit of excitement about this, but it really hasn't sort of hit hype yet. This has been a trailer out there, but a lot of people haven't discovered this property. But it could be the next Harry Potter. I mean, the books have been well received. And it's got Daniel Craig, who's the new James Bond. It's got who played the...
Nicole Kidman?
Nicole Kidman's in it, yeah. But there was also the woman who was in Casino Royale as well. Who played Vespa?
Oh,
Eva Green.
Good, Eva Green.
Yeah. Yep. So she's in it, but I got to see at the UK Toy Fair. I got to actually see the line that they're doing for that, and it's unbelievable.
Same people that are doing the 3¾ Harry Potter.
Same people who are doing the 3¾ Harry Potter. However, these figures will be available globally.
Ah.
And they have got. They're also going to be 3¾ inch in size, around 12 points of articulation.
Wow.
And I want you to picture in your mind, Kev,
okay,
the very best Sideshow sculpt that you have ever seen.
Alrighty.
Okay? You've got that in your mind.
Got it in there.
Now imagine if that sculpt was of Daniel Craig.
Okay, got it.
Okay, look, maybe it was, like a new Bond figure.
I suspect they're going to be doing one.
They must be doing it.
I'm sure we're going to see it in a few days.
So,
okay,
and
I got it.
Scale
it's in
that down
uh-huh.
to 3¾ inch.
Okay, you're asking me to have a great leap of faith, but okay.
Okay, and it still maintains all that great sculpting. They have literally got probably the best sculpt I have ever seen, that Daniel Craig figure.
Now that is huge.
Wow.
Coming from Adrian.
Yeah, that's huge.
Adrian has seen
too
everything.
Many action figures.
Yeah.
I mean, it took my breath away.
Wow.
I was geeking on the stand. Normally I act quite professional, but I was like, oh my God, this is just fantastic. And they're also, because they're also going to do the Eva Green figure,
mm-hmm.
if you're a customizer, you'll be able to create your own Bond line.
Ooh, 3¾ Bond.
Yeah.
Ooh.
We mentioned Bond to them, and if anybody from Corgi's listening, you should pick up a Bond license.
They have a Bond car license.
Yeah, I know, but they haven't got a figure license.
Do you think they're going to be showing at Toy Fair with Master Replicas?
Yes,
and
I've heard that they're going to be there. I want you to go, and I want you to look at that Daniel Craig figure, and then come back next week and tell me that it's not the best figure that you've
okay.
seen. Because I guarantee you won't. You'll think it's fantastic.
If they have it there, I will take a look.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, that's good. That's exciting stuff. Harry Potter, I think, is going to be really huge this year.
Sure.
So. Oh, it's a massive year. What with the book, and you've got the movie as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think NECA's stuff looks fantastic. The 6-inch figure line that they're doing, it's probably some of their best stuff that they've ever done. And it's going to be at Mass.
Yeah.
So,
how crazy is that?
I think this summer, the big problem with Harry Potter I see this year is that what's going to happen is everybody's going to go nuts for it when it all comes out around July.
Right.
And then I think we may get to August and we may all suddenly go, oh God, thank God it's all over.
I just, you know, what I'm afraid of is that Sizzle is going to put out their less than good versions of the Harry Potter pieces, much like they did with Pirates of the Caribbean.
See, this is one of the big problems with Toy Fair, and if anybody's listening, they don't know, it's that, you know, they've probably heard of, you know, various websites or even, you know, on your podcast talking about how great something is, how fantastic it looks and all that. And then the final product comes out and you think, well, what were those people smoking? I mean, this is a pile of crap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But one of the big problems is with at Toy Fair is that you're seeing prototypes. Sometimes they're at double size mm-hmm. and so on and so forth. So, I mean, it's one of the things that we do at Action Figure we're very careful of is that, you know we're seeing prototypes. We're very interested in following it through because when things get manufactured, like the Zizzle figures, I mean, the Zizzle prototypes looked absolutely stunning. But when it came to production,
they were absolutely crap.
Yeah, it's kind of sad.
They were crap.
But the good thing is that with the Cards Inc. stuff, both the Harry Potter in Europe and with the Golden Compass stuff that's going to be global, is that we've seen mass produced, you know, the test shots. So we've actually started to see what the finished pieces are going to look like, and they look really good.
Wouldn't it be great if NECA was to distribute the 3 3/4 line that you're mentioning in the U.S. and maybe that company, what's that company called again?
It's Cards Inc.
Cards Inc. Maybe if they were able to distribute the NECA 6-inch stuff in Europe, I mean, there's like money making potential there for everybody.
You would think, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I wonder.
It's not going to happen.
Why is it not?
You want me to tell you secrets that I told you earlier?
why, Adrian? Whatever do you mean?
Ooh, well, good accent.
All I'm going to say is that unfortunately, the reason that that's not going to happen, and I mean, for Harry Potter fans, it's very, very, it's a real shame. Is that
do you see the tear in Matt's eye?
Yeah.
And that tear is the money running out of his pocket to get one of you two over there to ship us them over here.
Well, you know, we'll probably I'll be running around Tesco's picking them up. No, the big problem is that Cards Inc. and NECA kind of don't see eye to eye. I was told by a distributor there was
an incident
at the UK Toy Fair a few years back.
Well, that's very interesting.
Yes.
So what else are we?
Well, we talked about this Daniel Craig figure, right, in the Golden Compass line, and as part of the visualization, you thought about a Sideshow Bond piece.
Oh, yeah.
So why don't we talk about Sideshow?
Because good
Sideshow,
idea.
Sideshow always a great presence at Toy Fair.
Well, the piece that's going around today that everyone's getting their first look at is the Darth Maul quarter scale.
That makes me cry a little inside.
Which, of course. Only the highest quality pieces and production come out of this company. I mean,
Sideshow completely amazes me. I mean, you were with us when we toured their facility.
Yes.
Back in the summer. And, I mean, they constantly put out fantastic pieces. I mean, they have the old wobbly moment. I mean, that Willow 12-inch figure was not their best piece.
And no.
The Xena, was it the Xena off the top? Was it the GoldenEye figure?
It was one of those.
Oh, yeah.
And
it was
GoldenEye.
Yeah. So, you know, there was... There's the odd thing that they do wrong, but for the amount of stuff they produce, I mean, the quality is just fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you go onto their stand, and it takes your breath away sometimes. I mean,
oh,
they just...
You remember, it's almost like, you know, it's one of your first times. Like, you remember your first time that you did this, that you kissed a girl... Or in somebody's case, in here, a boy, not mentioning any names. Fantastic. And, you know, it's like one of those special moments in your life when you walked into Sideshow and you saw the quarter scale Boba Fett.
Oh, yeah. I think one of the things is that anybody who you know, talks about toys or writes about toys is that, you know, I mean, this is going to be my 8th, 9th toy fair, U.S. toy fair that I've done in a row. And after a while, it's very easy to become very jaded. And I think that's why a lot of the people, like mentioning no names, Kev, get very angry about things. Because, you know, you get to see that, you know, the toy companies aren't perfect, that they make mistakes. They often make very, very stupid mistakes that should seem obvious to anybody who's got an ounce of sense.
Right.
But you go to Sideshow and it's nice because you still get your breath taken away. You still see something that you think, I want to review that. Not because you want to help the company out so much, but more that you kind of crave that item for yourself.
Yeah. Oh, wow. And if there's any company out there that's putting out pieces that you crave, it's Sideshow. And they just excel in, they really excel in 12-inch and quarter scale stuff. They really are just, they're blowing everybody
away. But you
know
why that is, don't you? Is that they listen to their fans. I mean,
exactly.
You see
hear that, Mattel? Hear that, Hasbro? Hear that? Well, no, Toy Biz is kind of out of it. But, I mean, are you hearing that, guys? You hearing it?
But, I mean,
they listen.
If you go back, to, I mean, like with Sideshow a while back, did you see that they were going to change the way that the exclusives were offered?
Uh-huh.
That instead of first come, first serve, they were going to do it via a lottery system. And everybody complained. They said that was a silly idea, that they, you know, they'd rather battle for them, you know, trying to get through online. And what did Sideshow do? They said, okay, we tried it. It didn't work. You guys didn't like it. We'll go back to the old system.
Sure.
You fight it out.
But, I mean, that's fantastic. And the trouble is that a lot of toy companies, I think they're too proud to sometimes say, you know what, we made a mistake. We tried something. It didn't work. We'll go back to what worked. And, I mean, you've been around Toy Fair, and you get all this, you know, discussion, and you get told these things, and you just think, you're lying.
We have an expression for that in this country, Adrian. It's called bullshit. See, you may call it bollocks.
Bollocks. Bollocks? See?
Bollocks.
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 Oh, dear God.
There's no helping him.
I don't understand. I said it just the way that you did. I said bollocks. Just like that.
Alrighty then, moving on.
Thank you very much, Dick Van Dyke.
It's not Dick Van Dyke. I mean, he's really... Dick Van Dyke's really like, oh, it's a jolly holiday with Mary.
And how's that any different from what you were doing?
It's... I'm just not purposely dropping my H's. I'm not Eliza Doolittle over here.
Even the Geico
herb,
Gecko's better than
say
you.
Say herb.
Wow.
Because there's a fucking H in it. All right. So we're talking about Sideshow.
Let's
wasn't taken from the Big Kev's Geek Stuff product archive.
I don't know.
During
how,
the raid.
I don't know why on earth they take that DC Direct stuff, but not take the brand new 12-inch Legolas from Sideshow. It's stunning. I mean, what do you even talk about? Do you talk about the fact that he has a...
Well, he comes with a quiver and arrows. He comes with the bow, the interchangeable hand that Sideshow has become so famous for at this point.
Great likeness.
What about the packaging as well? I mean, that packaging is fantastic.
It's their window box. It's kind of the two flap window box packaging.
It's their Lord of the Rings packaging.
Right.
Let's call it what it is. I mean, they designed that packaging for Lord of the Rings. The Aragorn piece that we had talked about earlier on the show had the same packaging, and it would, you know, stand to reason that Legolas would follow in suit.
Legolas Greenleaf, Elf Prince of Mirkwood.
Mm-hmm.
And the likeness, of course, stunning.
Sure.
And you have your all your accessories here, the knives, the quiver, as Matt said, the arrows, the costume, the cloth costume, accurate down to the details, the all the decoration on the boots and the kind of wristy things.
I like his half moon cloak. It's going a little local geek, little Ren geek there.
You're getting a little too much.
A little too much?
Pushing a little too
much. He's scaring me. Kev, he's scaring me.
He scares us all. It's a great figure. And it's no less than we expect from Sideshow.
Sure.
And so we obviously are looking forward to just an array of fantastic.
Well,
they've
just announced they're going to do Lord of the Rings dioramas.
Yes. Yes. Which I'm looking for.
Which are what exactly?
The first one they're going to do is called at the Frodo and Gollum at the Crack of Doom.
Okay, and so what is it, a 12-inch scale? Or?
No, it's more like their Marvel versus...
Like their Marvel diorama.
Oh, yeah. Like Wolverine and Sabretooth and
Hulk Spider-Man.
Wow, really? They've done something like that already, haven't they? With
not
them?
With Lord of the Rings.
You know what you're thinking of? They did that. Wall plaque, that relief plaque.
I know that. That's not what I meant. They did a couple of mounted pieces. Then they do like Legolas and Gimli on a horse.
That was with Weta, though, wasn't it?
Oh, that was with Weta. Oh, so this is without Weta.
No, I mean that they went their own ways some time ago. Yeah. But they've had a few glances up on their website, and that, I mean, it looks pretty good.
They look really?
Pretty. Yeah.
I'm glad to see that they're not getting out of the Lord of the Rings business.
Well, they've just started the 12-inch figures.
Especially,
they've got
well, of course. I mean, I can't wait to see what else they're going to do in this line, especially considering Peter Jackson's movie The Hobbit coming up. I hear it's coming out next year.
Yeah. No.
That's what I heard. I heard a rumor.
You know,
I heard it
wait.
Because I said it, but...
I can't wait until they start their 12-inch Firefly and Serenity...
That's something we've kind of been angling for.
Yeah.
Why would they not do it? They're doing Buffy. Why would they not do Firefly?
Well, you see, the thing is sometimes is that licenses get tied up for so many years. And, I mean, Diamond Select had their figures that came out. And as much as I like Diamond Select, I have to be honest and say that those figures weren't their best.
Yes, it wasn't their best. That's, and we understand that, and that's all well and good. So maybe it's time now to pass the torch on to a new company.
I definitely think that Serenity figures would sell. I mean, if Diamond Select could redo them, but redo them like they did their Stargate figures,
yes, right,
which are, I mean, unbelievable. Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable.
It's Gene St. John, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, he, you know, he does some absolutely fantastic stuff.
He's a talented boy.
Yeah. I mean, and if he could do Serenity figures,
right,
you know,
they would be incredible.
Yeah.
Speaking of doing figures.
Yeah.
And have you ever thought, Matt, of doing your own Serenity figures?
No, mostly because I don't have the talent, but I would love to see somebody else do their own.
And Adrian and I were talking about that very topic today, because tonight we are introducing a brand new segment on Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Ooh, look at us.
Big Kev's Action Figure Chop Shop.
Ooh.
Now let me explain the concept here. So sit back. Here it comes.
Alrighty then.
We have secured, contacted, made friends
kidnapped
with, connected with,
tied up in the archive.
Yeah.
That's right. Artisans, and I'm calling them artists and artisans in the customized action figure realm.
Okay.
These guys that we have, we got like 5 to 7 guys who are just at the top of their game customizing, okay, action figures. We've contacted them. They're on board with the project. Here's the project. Big Kev's Action Figure Chop Shop. We are going to be discussing, actually, we're going to do it right now. We're going to be discussing a topic, something we'd like to see action figures made of that action figures have never been made of before.
Okay.
And what we're going to do is, when the guys in the chop shop, they're going to get the assignment.
All right.
We're going to say, okay, here it is, property X. And we want you guys, either out there, listeners, to give us some ideas for characters, or the guys in the chop shop going to give us ideas for characters. We're gonna swirl them around. We're going to pick 5 to 7 characters from the given product, from the given license, and we're going to tell the guys in the chop shop, go to work. And each one of them is going to get one of those characters.
See, I only see one problem with that. I mean, I think every property's been done.
Oh, really?
Well, there's one or two, but
every property?
There's very few.
Hmm.
And I mean, those
so
properties.
You would think. Now what? Now
I know where this is going.
Now, yeah. What I mean by properties is, it can be anything: television, movies,
okay,
comics, video games, anything where there are characters that could be great toys that never have been.
Okay.
And these artists, these underappreciated guys who are going out there and they are making the toys that they want to have. We talked about it before. Adrian brought up the fact that you can make your own 3 3/4 Bond figures,
right,
by customizing the ones that are coming out from the Golden Compass line. And we started to say Sideshow should be making Serenity 12-inch action figures and 6-inch figures, or whomever. Somebody should,
right,
be making them. Adrian said that the Diamond Select ones sucked, so that I may be paraphrasing. But that maybe somebody else who really was into them would be making their own figures,
right,
from that line. Well, here's the opportunity for us to both live the dream of creating a line of figures.
Okay.
And to shine a spotlight on this very underappreciated and under spotlit movement out there.
Okay.
Which is guys doing their own toys, making the toys that they
want. I mean, and
see,
some of them are fantastic.
Unbelievable. When I first thought about this idea actually extends from something that I started to do with Big Kev's Critical Toys.
Right.
A while back, and I said, you know what, let's approach it in just in a complete line way, rather than just saying, hey dude, make me this dude. Let's get a bunch of dudes. Let's have each dude, each artist, work on a different dude or character from a given property. So you said there aren't a lot of properties.
Not a lot.
Name one that you'd like to see. Name the most outlandish property that you'd like to see a series of action figures from.
I would actually like to see Terry Pratchett's Discworld. That is my number one property that hasn't been done. Because there's so many good characters out there.
Really? That's interesting. Okay, we'll swirl that one around and see.
Sure.
Now, here's the other part of this also. The artisans going to do the research.
Okay.
So when they get the assignment of, let's say using Adrian's Discworld as an example, we're going to say, okay, your assignment is in the chop shop. Your assignment is character X
right.
from Discworld. Go find out about him.
Okay.
And that's what we're going to do.
Well, you know, the guys are on board and...
Discworld could be a possibility.
Sure.
What do you think?
Well, you know what I think.
What do you think?
Oh, I have to pick a license that hasn't been done at all yet.
I'm glad I went first.
You set the bar awful high there because I don't even know any characters from Discworld, so that's a great example.
Yeah, that is a good example.
Oh, but they look fantastic. They would make a really good line.
Wow.
Tick-tock.
I don't know. Watchmen?
Yeah, Watchmen. That's probably a really great example because the Watchmen movie coming out.
Sure.
We know for a fact that prototypes were made by DC Direct.
Right.
They were squashed by, depending on who you believe, Paul Levitz, the head of DC, or Alan Moore, depending on what side of the story.
The loon in the castle.
You hear they were squashed right around the time of the anniversary edition of Watchmen came out.
Did they object to Dr. Manhattan's testicles or something?
I don't know, but there's a series of characters right there.
Sure.
Okay, and I'm going to throw one out there. I'm going to throw one out there also, and then we can decide what we're gonna file on down to the chop shop with.
Okay.
I'm going to throw out there Streets of Fire.
What Streets of Fire?
You've never seen the movie Streets of Fire?
No. I haven't seen Meatballs either.
We might be able to take care of that.
Oh, no!
While you're here in the States.
I'm sorry.
We'll pick you up a little early next week's show, and...
I'm being held against my will.
That's right. You're going to end up in that archive if you're
not
careful.
If I'm not seen at Toy Fair, I'm in the product archive.
That's right.
Tied up and gagged.
You'll be doing a review of Box 73 in the archive. Streets of Fire. Great film. Yeah, that says a lot about it. Michael Paré was in it. Fantastic. Can you tell us...
That Grady has to get fantastic to look it up.
No one knows this little culty film. What's it? Rick Moranis was in it. 1984 movie. Action-packed. Not really set in any particular time, but it kind of has that rockabilly's 50s, 60s, early 60s kind of look to it.
Alrighty then.
Hair and so on and so forth. But not actually like from that time period. It's kind of set in its own little world. And it stars Michael Paré. And Diane Lane.
Ooh.
And Rick Moranis.
Ah.
And it also stars Willem Dafoe as the villain. You don't remember this at all?
No.
Neither of you remember Streets
Not
of Fire?
So much.
Exactly the point. Because I liked Streets of Fire, and I thought really good action figures could be made from it.
Okay.
I've never heard of it.
Well, Adrian, you're going to be in the States for a few days.
No!
Wait, hold on. I'm just going to jot this down. Meatballs, Streets of Fire.
I hope to God you've seen Watership Down.
Oh, have you seen? It's British. You probably have seen
I live near where Watership Down is.
Do you really?
I'm about 25 miles from it.
Wow, I'm so going to Adrian's house. You've seen the movie, though?
Yeah, I've seen the movie.
All right. See, Matt?
British.
Thank you.
It's cultural.
Not to mention that it's great. Anyway, you said while we were waiting for Fantastic, you indicated that you thought of something
else. I did think of something, but I thought about it a little bit more in the last couple of moments. And while I still think I'd like to see products from it, it probably would be, might be a little easy and it might be self-defeating for this project, but something I always thought deserved its own line in some way, shape, or form was Spaceballs. And when you said Rick Moranis, it kind of set it off in my mind. But I don't know if it runs too close to, obviously, the films that parodies.
I don't know whether you could do, like, you might be able to do one wave, but...
Yeah, but that's okay. One wave is more than some lines.
Well,
get,
what, you would have...
Well, you'd have Lone Star.
Lone Star.
You'd have Dark Helmet. Yeah. You could do
The Princess.
The Princess.
You could do Joan Rivers.
Joan Rivers. You can
John
do
Candy.
John Candy
That's
as Barf.
Right there.
I'd like to see
you
John Candy
a series,
as Barf.
But I don't know whether. I mean, other lines. I mean, Discworld would have sort of like a second. You could do a
oh,
second
sure.
series. Not that I'm prejudiced or anything.
No,
you know,
not at all.
That line.
No,
but,
no. I agree.
I mean, you could with
Watchmen.
But, Watchmen, that's it. Yeah, I mean, you could do more than one series of Watchmen.
Oh, certainly.
Sure.
I mean
you'd
loads
have
of,
to,
like,
really.
Secondary characters in there
right.
and everything, so.
Okay, so what do we think? Well, Discworld might be too lofty a bar to open with.
Well, you don't know the characters either, so.
That's true. Well, I mean,
that's okay, though.
Not that I need to. I mean, if this was Adrian's action figure Chop Shop, I'm sure that would be first on the list. And... I like the Watchmen idea.
Okay.
And I think Streets of Fire might be too much of a stretch to go for the first line.
Okay.
So
Watchmen it is.
I think Watchmen.
I think Watchmen.
Watchmen, yeah.
All right.
And because it seems like DC is never going to get its act together, movie or not, to put out these figures. At least that's my opinion anyway. And so we're going to go with Watchmen right out of the bat.
Okay.
So the guys in the Chop Shop and listeners, start sending in your character suggestion ideas. What the guys in the Chop Shop are going to do is they're going to send up their preferences, 1 through 5. They're going to pick characters from their highest preference, number one, to their, not lowest preference, but their fifth preference.
Right.
And then the guys who email me first will obviously get first preference, and then so on down the line.
Yeah, I think I think it would be good if, like, some of the secondary characters were in those lists as well.
If secondary,
I mean, if
characters...
everybody just lifts all the primary
yeah.
ones,
right?
You know, it'd be kind of interesting just to see some of the more the background characters.
Sure. Well, you know, if you kind of look at the way product lines go, right? You probably, if you're going to do, like, let's say a 5-figure line, you probably should do like 2 or 3 of the real big ones, and then maybe like 1 or 2 of the secondaries. Because if you do an entire second line of just secondaries, it'll never move anywhere.
Well, actually, I think the way this line would be handled in the mass market is that there would be 2 or 3 Rorschachs and 2 or 3 of another character, and then like 1 Ozymandias.
Right.
So.
But this isn't Mattel's action figure Chop Shop. This
right.
is.
This is going to be done.
Geek Stuff action figure Chop Shop.
So Watchmen it is. Chop Shop is underway, and we'll be right back. Matt, you have to check out our latest sponsor, the upcoming comic book Shadow Flame from Arcana Studios.
Shadow Flame is written and drawn by Joe Martino and is a story of murder, suicide, genocide, and rebirth on a cosmic scale. It is a story of redemption and a man who has nothing to lose and becomes Earth's only hope.
So ask for Shadow Flame at your local comics retailer coming this February.
For more information, you can go to arcanastudio.com. That's ArcanaStudio.com.
Shadow Flame from Arcana Studios.
This is Master Shake from Aqua Teen Hunger Force Honor. You're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Listen up. You still listening? All right, have fun, you geeks. Goodbye, Mama. Shut up.
Thank you.
it's a jolly holiday with Mary. There, that's my accent.
Shoot me now.
Exactly.
That is a Dick Van Dyke accent, sir.
But I wasn't trying that hard.
And so we're back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode number 45, Accents. And we're going into the wrap-up now. Matt,
Accents and Allies, what?
What did we talk about today?
Harry Potter, July 21st. The Deathly Hallows, the seventh book. Who's going to bite it?
Harry's going to die.
Do you really think he's going to die?
I think that's the plan. I think he might be the character that gets the reprieve.
We also said hello to our friend Weatherman in Antarctica, who was nice enough to send us a picture of him holding the Twilight Turtle.
We talked about the Indie Spotlight Shotkinis, the 3-inch line that they're doing, Shadowhawk and Scud, Kachu and Max,
bless you.
Kabuki and Solarm, and Dick Tracy and Madman.
We also talked about Ray Harryhausen getting right into bed with Blue Water Productions to produce a series of comic books called Ray Harryhausen Presents, and they look like cheap comic book sequels to some of Ray Harryhausen's films like Clash of the Titans, with a sequel coming called Wrath of the Titans in May from this company. Kev. I just think it's a giant paycheck,
Kev.
And I'm embarrassed by the whole thing.
Kev,
yeah.
You're speaking in bad accent again.
Thank you, because, you know.
Anytime you want to chime in, Adrian, that's fine.
That's all right.
So bunch of Halo products coming
it's all
out.
One.
Now I'm starting to do the bad accent.
Oh,
God
no!
God damn it!
It's all one.
It's all one.
A bunch of Halo products coming out. Kotobukiya has gotten a 12-inch vinyl statue line. And WizKids is launching an Action Clicks line, starting off with Halo.
And speaking of things that are launching, David Peterson's Mouse Guard is going to be turned into action figures by Diamond Select Toys. Going to feature characters Saxon, Kenzie, Liam, and Sadie, perhaps in Series 1 with others to come down the line. Very excited about that.
Looks like the new Incredible Hulk film is going to star...
And not be incredible in any way.
Right.
Be direct to DVD.
If we're lucky. We know that Thunderbolt Ross is going to be it. Abomination is going to be in it.
It's going to be an Abomination, coincidentally.
You know something? I think it's probably going to be that bad that the actual characters themselves are not wanting to be in it.
You never know. So we don't have that to look forward to. Jeff Bridges has signed on to play a role yet to be determined in the Iron Man film, although I think in this room at least we're all in agreement that he is going to be playing the bad guy.
Yeah, but we don't know which bad guy, if it's going to be one from the comic books or if it's going to be someone they make up.
See, everybody should know that the best bad guys are British.
It's true.
So you're a bad guy.
Because of the American Revolutionary War.
Right. Ghostbusters 3.
Thank you, Mr. Izzard, for that enlightenment.
Exactly. Ghostbusters 3, not going to be live action. Most likely going to be CGI. Bill Murray has said that he will do the voice work for it.
And long holdout Ernie Hudson has not yet committed to the project.
I'm worried about that.
I am too.
Indiana Jones 4 finally has a date, Memorial Day weekend, 2008.
Ooh, who's he taking?
Yeah, exactly. And Harrison Ford, a little upset at the prospect that his whip might be CGI in this film.
There's a dirty joke in there somewhere, isn't there?
I think there really is.
I think the dirty joke is that his hip may be in CGI after this film.
Wow, that's rough. Joel Schumacher eyeing Sandman. Both the character and the film.
He's eyeing parts of Sandman. Rather bulbous parts in the front and rear.
He's eyeing the sand nipples and the sand buns.
Nipples.
Nipples, yeah. And last but not least, Joss Whedon not going to be doing Wonder Man.
Thank God.
Wonder Man.
Why don't you do it again? From last
That's
but not
probably
least.
Why. They were like, but you were supposed to submit a Wonder Woman script. This is Wonder Man.
That could be the reason why he's not doing the film anymore, because he said, I want to do an Amazonian princess who is actually a man. I think I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, I think you meant to say Wonder Woman.
Yes, I definitely meant to say Wonder Woman and not Wonder Man. So
we then sashayed into our review of DC Direct's Justice Series 5. Or rather, we would have done that had somebody not broken into the Big Kev's Geek Stuff product archive and stolen them.
Can we just go over the evidence list real quick again?
Evidence list, they found well-worn and well-used CD copies of our show, Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
One.
They found copies of a comic book called Spike Asylum.
Two.
They found some beer bottles and other, what do you call them, party accoutrements.
Three.
And they found tire tracks, which indicated a truck had been there.
Four.
So, I don't know what all this means. I'm hoping that the perpetrators are brought to justice.
Off with their heads.
Yes, well put, Adrian, well put.
Adrian like comes contribute. To visit us and he just starts whacking people left and right. Me and now the vandals.
You know what I say for those people? Let them eat cake.
That was Marie Antoinette. She was French.
Let them eat cake.
Oh, God, it's even worse.
You should have offered them cake or death.
Let them eat cake.
We then talked about we were looking forward to seeing at Toy Fair this year.
Right, and I think it's by and large, we're all looking forward to the Harry Potter products that are coming out this year from right. both NECA and Cards Inc. that Adrian has already seen at the British Toy Fair.
Right.
Udalali.
We're looking forward to Sideshow as usual. Jax, I think, is going to be pretty exciting.
And speaking of Sideshow, we yes. should mention the 12-inch Legolas Green Leaf Elf Prince of Mirkwood has hit, and it is a hit, a wonderful piece from Sideshow. If you like Lord of the Rings, or if you just like really great 12-inch action figures, there he is.
Excellent.
Check him out.
From there, we talked about a new segment on this show, the Big Kev's Geek Stuff action figure chop shop.
And what I should have said also is, in addition to assigning these guys, what they're going to be doing is they're going to be coming on the show via telephone or live, and they're going to be explaining how it is that they were able to create their piece. We're also going to show plenty of in-progress photos on a special accompanying site to BigKevsGeekStuff.com. And it's just going to be a great, great segment. I'm really looking forward to it.
It sounds really exciting, actually.
I know.
And speaking about an accompanying site to BigKevsGeekStuff.com, me and Kev are working on a secret project.
You said not to mention the secret project.
Well, it's like
I mentioned the secret project earlier, and I was browbeaten down.
I just like to tease it and keep it fresh. We don't want no one to forget
it. No
about
one knows
it.
What it is because it's we're not. It's not really.
They forget it if they don't know what it is.
It's a tease.
Exactly.
And by tease, you mean we are doing something.
Exactly.
That's your tease. Now go on and figure it out.
It's a good tease. It's a start.
The question is, will it be popular enough for Adrian to actually fly over and be a part of it?
Well, maybe.
Highly doubtful.
Yeah,
not so much.
Although, really, if Adrian goes into the Adrian Faulkner product archive and starts selling some of it, I'm sure he could fly us over to him.
You know something? I've never sold an item, and the one big problem with the Adrian Faulkner product archive is that I'm worried that one day I'm going to be buried under it. I mean, what a way to go, you know. He was killed yeah. by a mountain of Marvel legends that tumbled down on him. He was found 4 weeks later, Eesh. After gnawing off his own arm, trying to claw out.
He managed to scratch Fuck Jesse in the linoleum
of
his...
See, that's not me.
Yeah, oh, I'm sorry.
Don't get you guys confused.
Yeah.
All right.
It's not nice.
We're going to have to deal with him.
No, we're not.
I'm saying we're going to have to
Let's
deal with him.
Not.
Did they give you an appointment?
They yeah. did.
I wouldn't have.
I'm stunned, especially since he hung up the phone on me 2 days before that. It was amazing. All
He's
right,
going up in my estimations if he hung the phone.
The next time you hear these voices, they will have experienced Toy Fair.
It's true.
And on that note, BQ Jason Lee.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Ain't it a glorious day, right as a morning in May? I feel like I could fly.
A bird? None of your larking about.
Have you ever seen the grass so green or a bluer sky? Oh, it's a jolly holiday with Mary. Mary makes your heart so light.
You haven't changed a bit, have you?
When the day is gray and ordinary, Mary makes the sun shine bright.
Oh, honestly.
Oh, happiness is blooming all around her. The daffodils are smiling at the dove. When Mary holds your hand, you feel so grand. Your heart starts beating like a big brass band.
You are lightheaded.
It's a jolly holiday with Mary. No wonder that it's Mary that we love.
It's a jolly holiday with Mary.
Mary makes your heart so light.
When the day is gray and ordinary,
Mary makes the sunshine bright.
Oh, happiness is blooming all around her.
The daffodils are smiling at the dove.
When Mary holds your hand, you feel so grand. Your heart starts beating like a big brass band. It's a jolly holiday with Mary. No wonder that it's Mary that we love.
Holiday with you, Bert. Gentlemen like you are few.
A vanishing breed, that's me.
Though you're just a diamond in the rough, Bert. Underneath your blood is blue.
Common knowledge.
You'd never think of pressing your advantage. Forbearance is the hallmark of your creed.
True.
A lady needn't fear when you are near. Your sweet gentility is crystal clear. Oh, it's a jolly holiday with you, Bert. A jolly, jolly holiday with you, Bert.